I can't see the employee working. I can't supervise them. They're basically afraid to lose control. And that's a big problem. I mean, that's a real big problem.
And is that the, I mean, I know there are a certain bastion of folks who are employees who go, hold on, I'm going to be out of the loop. I'm not going to be in the circle, you know, the water cooler talk. And I'm just going to be, you know, I'm going to not be in touch anymore.
Well, I think that, you know, that isn't as big of a concern, really. I think that the workforce is changing, and my sense is that employees really wouldn't mind teleworking at all.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I think that they're ready for it, and they're willing to do it. The managers, you know, that's why these books are doing so well, because the managers need to learn more about it, need to learn how to do it. They need to learn how to manage in a different way, you know, actually a more effective way, because they're managing by results. And
yeah.
Not by, you know, walking around looking and seeing if the person is working, which, as we all know, that's no indication of actually whether they're actually working.
Well, and that seems like the big mindset change that really has to happen is, you know, as long as I've been covering this stuff, we always say, okay, we need to focus on results. And yet when we get right back to it, all of a sudden we focus on the individual. Okay, are they in there by 9 and do they leave by 5?
Exactly. And that's so, you know, the thing of that is it's so counterproductive because, I mean, I have friends who work in government jobs, and, you know, it's like I have to, you know, they're going to watch me if I don't come back from lunch at a certain time. They're going to watch me if I'm looking like I'm not busy. I mean, I'm like, isn't it more important that you do your job well?
Yeah.
That, you know, if you're on the phone to people or calling questions or dealing with people out in the field, isn't it more important that those people are satisfied and getting the information and the services that they need? Rather than whether or not you come back from lunch, you know, at 12:35 instead of 12:30. I mean, to me, it would seem like happy employees are productive employees.
And the interesting thing to me, and I know there's a little bit of pushback on some of this because people go, okay, why are we changing for these young people? In essence, it shouldn't be changing for the young people. We should be focused on results anyway. That's what really matters here.
You know, change is hard, and I think,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's change is really kind of harder in the government, maybe a little bit more than in private industry. And I think that it's more of a way of looking at things from doing the things the traditional way of, you know, being there certain hours, getting X amount of things done, and doing things the results way. And it could very well be a generational thing.
Hmm.
It very could well be a generational thing because they are mobile. They do have their laptops. They do have their, you know, Blackberries and their Androids. And, you know, they're like, well, I can get this done here. And they're right. They can.
Well, we're talking to Sandra Gervas. She is author of The Handbook for Managing Telework, a five-step management process for managing teleworkers. And let's jump in. Let's actually help people do this better because you do have a wonderful, and it's the thing that I liked about your idea is helping people actually do this. Step one, give you the tools to even decide whether the organization can telework, and that not every job is a telework job, is it?
No, it's not. Certain jobs, like if you work in a hospital or if you physically need to be there, are not suited for telework. I mean, people that are service, you know, if you're actually like a receptionist in an office, or you physically have to perform the duties, you can't. You have to be there. I mean, that's just the way their jobs are. There will always be a place for people who physically need to be present.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the world won't operate. I mean, when you think about it, historically, telework was there long before the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
That's how people started, you know. It's kind of going back to the roots. But what's going to evolve is a combination of the two.
Step two is putting together a telework team.
Right. And that involves really evaluating, A, what duties in the job that need to be teleworked, what can be done in the office, what can be done at home, setting standards, setting hours, setting limits. You know, you need to be available at these times. I mean, I myself have clients that I work for. And I work out of my home, and I have for decades. And, you know, they know I'm available. And when I'm not available, I tell them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
yeah, it's not like, the employee says, oh, I'm going to be working at home so I can go to the park with my kid. No, that's not going to work.
And in some ways, it's setting up, okay, how are we going to communicate with each other,
right,
whether it be touching? I mean, I when I was having to manage people, and thank God I don't have to do that anymore. But when I did, I almost set up a regular time when we were going to talk because you needed to have that touch base,
right.
I think both for me and for them.
Right. And then that's where the office workers can come in too, because when they touch base or they get together, that's when the whole team can get together, office workers, teleworkers, managers, and talk. And that way the person at home, the teleworker, won't feel left out of the loop.
Step three is putting together a plan that's going to work. And we touched a little bit on that, but this is important stuff.
Yeah, step three really involves making sure the person has what I like, it's Jack Millies who came up with the term, the teleworker personality. And this is where you really work with the employee and make sure that they are psychologically, physically, and mentally prepared to telework. Because it sounds like a great deal of fun. Oh, I don't have to drive. I can work in my pajamas. It's work. You have to separate it. You can go to two extremes. You can work too many hours, and to the detriment of your life and your family,
right,
or you can goof off, and you need to figure out how you're going to get yourself motivated as an employee, because you do have to be self-motivated. You do have to be a self-starter. If problems happen, like, for example, something I was working on this morning, there was a problem, but I didn't stop working on it. I just kept working on it until I heard from the person that I need to discuss the problem with.
Yeah.
And as a teleworker, you have to have the ability to think independently and to reason independently and know when there's a problem. And you also have to need the ability to know when to tell them there's a problem. And that only comes through experience. That's not something you like walk into the first day.
And as part of this plan, is it too far for a manager to actually want to see the space? I mean, I know a lot of teleworkers have a separate room and they sort of go to that room and they're almost,
right,
it's a mindset kind of thing. It seems like a fine line for a manager as to how involved I get in the person setting up their space.
Well, personally, I feel that the manager should look at the space at least once.
Yeah.
Because as somebody who's a professional, I just feel that you need to know. You don't have to like drop in on them unexpectedly, but I think that you need to see it and make sure that it's going to work effectively.
And it almost gives you a sense as to how seriously they're taking this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can make suggestions. I mean, you know, if somebody comes in and say, try this, make sure there's enough natural light. Is that chair ergonomically comfortable for you? I mean, they have all these checklists that you can use. But somebody that is, you know, a manager can kind of just double check. I mean, that's why they're a manager. That's their job. And, you know, personally, I others may not agree, but I really feel that if somebody is going to telework, on a regular basis and get paid a salary, I think that somebody needs to look at the space and make sure it's okay.
Step four covers implementation. How do you actually make this happen?
That's all those checklists I was telling you about. Equipment needs, you figure out performance standards, you figure out benchmarks. I touch upon, on the next book that I'm doing, which is like a handbook for managers, I touch upon more the importance of mentoring, spotting potential problems. If something becomes a concern, you need to address it right away. Technology issues, and also with the government, there's security issues and the contingency plan. So that all that stuff is very technical, needs to be taken care of, you know, as you're implementing the program.
And step five is maintenance. How does this move forward as you continue this process?
Right. And that's where, you know, a lot of this new stuff is coming in. The importance of trust, we talk about that. Performance evaluation, which is basically the same for office workers. Just keeping an eye on the program, making sure that it's flowing smoothly, making sure the lines of communication are open. If there's a problem, you address it right away. I think after a time, the programs run smoothly. And it's like anything else. You just have to kind of keep an eye on it and make sure it's coming along. And you change with the times. You play as you go. You pay attention to the signs. It's like any organizational management. You try to keep one step ahead of what's happening.
And I know a lot of agencies use telework as part of their continuity of operations plan.
Right, that was COOP, yeah.
My concern often is they do that, and then the only time they do it is when there's an emergency, and that is a terrible time to test these things.
Right, yeah, I just think that they need to. I know that the recent legislation, which I'm not terribly familiar with, has really kind of made telework almost mandatory, it seems, or it seems to be going that way for the federal government, not the states, or some states, I think, are implementing it. But it's definitely the way of the future. I mean, there's no way, you're going to get around it. I mean, in terms of rush hour traffic, in terms of the environment, in terms of work-life balance, I mean, it just, when I started teleworking decades ago, I mean, I was like the only person that me and one other person. And I was a writer, of course, and journalist, traditionally freelancers work at home. But then as the years evolved, it became more and more common. I mean, there are many, many, many self-employed people. There are many people who telework, and it is going to increasingly become more common, I think. But on the other hand, there are people who will always want to work in an office and who are not wanting to telework at all. And you know what? And that's okay, too.